Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
A reading from Genesis. Then the Lord said, "How great is the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah, and how very grave their sin. I must go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me, and if not, I will know." So the men turned from there and went toward Sodom, while Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham came near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not forgive it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" And the Lord said, "If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will forgive the whole place for their sake." Abraham answered, "Let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord, who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5? And he said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." Again he spoke to him, "Suppose 40 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "Oh, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak. Suppose 30 are found there." He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." He said, "Let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "Oh, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak just once more. Suppose 10 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of the 10, I will not destroy it." Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. A reading from Psalm 138. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down toward your holy temple and praise your name because of your steadfast love and faithfulness. For you have glorified your name and your word have above all things. When I called, you answered me. You increased my strength within me. All the rulers of the earth will praise you, O Lord, when they have heard the words of your mouth. They will sing of the ways of the Lord, that great is the glory of the Lord. The Lord is high, yet cares for the lowly, perceiving the haughty from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you keep me safe. You stretch forth your hand against the fury of my enemies. Your right hand shall save me. You will make good your purpose for me, O Lord. Your steadfast love endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. A reading from Colossians. As you, therefore, have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come to fullness in him, who is the head of every ruler and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a spiritual circumcision, by putting off the body of the flesh in the circumcision of Christ. When you were buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with him when he forgave us all our trespasses, erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands. He set this aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public example of them, triumphing over them. Therefore, do not let anyone condemn you in matters of food and drink or observing festivals, new moons, or Sabbaths. These are only a shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Do not let anyone disqualify you, insisting on self-abasement and worship of angels, dwelling on visions puffed up without cause by a human way of thinking, and not holding fast to the head, for whom the whole body, nourished and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows with a growth that is from God. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us, and do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if a child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Who taught you to pray? What is your mode of prayer? When do you typically pray? Where do you pray? How do you pray? Somehow, as I began thinking about the text for today, I started thinking about the questions I learned in third grade. Who, what, when, where, and how? Those questions have been the key to much of my writing for the bulk of my life. I will also note that in each reading today, I saw any number of rabbit trails that could be interesting to explore. If I were to guess, some who are gathered here today have questions about those rabbit trails. Like, is prayer really like pinning God down as Abraham appears to be doing in the first reading? How does that reading from Colossians inform a sense of urgency and content for prayer? What might it mean to be rooted and built up in Christ, established in faith? Or can God's response to prayer really be like those times I do something for a neighbor only to get them off my back? Perhaps there are other questions. The written introduction to the day prepared by Augsburg Fortress describes the themes for today in this way, and I quote, "Persistence in prayer is encouraged by Jesus and wins the attention of God when Abraham intercedes for Sodom. The life of the baptized, to be rooted and built up in Christ Jesus, is to be nurtured with prayer. God hears and answers prayer and so strengthens God's own. When I called, you answered me. You increased my strength within me," the psalmist writes. End quote. The focal center today is prayer. And yet, what is the outcry against Sodom? For so many today and throughout the recent history, the go-to response is about sexual immorality. Throughout Scripture, the sins of Sodom, for which God was preparing to destroy that community, are actually about a constellation of behavior that is characterized by a lack of hospitality and failure to care for the poor. Lack of hospitality and failure to care for the poor. Sodom is described by rabbinic legend as an area of particular wealth, both in natural resources and in produce of the land. The people of that community were jealous of their wealth and unwilling to share. There is much to say about this, but the stories go that they developed rules about caring for the outsider, about providing for the poor. Those rules fundamentally criminalized compassion. That code of conduct brought stiff penalties for violating it. Ezekiel speaks of the outcry against Sodom like this. "This was the guilt of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters had pride, excess of food, and prosperous ease, but did not aid the poor and needy." When Abraham is interceding for Sodom, he is advocating for the few in the community who are compassionate, who care for the poor and the needy. These are the righteous ones who violate the community codes and risk retribution. The exchange between Jesus and his disciples shifts the focus just a bit. Jesus' final instruction reminds all the faithful that God knows the needs and provides what is needed. God does not eliminate the travails of this life. There is still loss and sorrow. What God does is provide sustenance for the journey, strength for the challenges. There is a promise that God hears prayer and responds. The story goes that Martin Luther instructed people to drum on God's ears with all their concerns. To be sure, in the broadest sense, the prayer that Jesus teaches the disciples covers all concerns. Martin Luther helps readers of his small catechism and his large catechism to see that the Lord's Prayer covers all the bases, all the needs. Back to those journalism questions. Who, what, where, when, and how? In my lifetime, so many people have taught me to pray. I continue to learn from faithful people most every day. What does prayer look like? Well, sometimes prayer is very stylized, handed down from generation to generation. Other times, prayer can be a rather loud discourse, pleading, begging even, for clarity, direction, healing, relief. Where and when? to pray? Well, anywhere and everywhere. I set aside time and places for prayer, but the most immediate and urgent prayers cannot wait for a time and place. Rather, driving away from any number of situations, whether they be hospital visits or meetings or family conversations. Also, when I hear a helicopter flying by from the hospital or to the hospital, and when I hear sirens going down the street, I've begun to take it seriously to pray in the moment with people instead of promising to pray for them sometime in the future. How to pray? A good start is Our Father in Heaven. The prayer team has taken to enfolding their prayer time in the responsive prayers, the suffrages found in the hymnal. But formal prayer is only one way. The most potent prayers I have heard and prayed are very often conversational, as though talking with someone we trust loves us, whose relationship is so reliable that anything can be said, that indeed we can drum on God's ears with insistence, with persistence. At the same time, prayer can include getting quiet, listening, pondering, meditating. In the midst of it all, may the faithful followers of Jesus act with compassion. May this congregation continue to focus on the needs of the poor, of the powerless. May this congregation seek not only to meet the immediate and known needs, but work for justice that changes the systems that continue to crush whole populations. May the people of God dare to intercede on behalf of the righteous and even the unrighteous today and always. Your kingdom come, Lord. Your will be done.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.